With you again. It's home from home. Patricia and I love being here. Tom and Rosemary send their love. They just couldn't make it. They've been put on the rota to lead worship at Seaford this morning. Unusually 2 weeks in a row, but they're looking forward to the next time they can be here. And we were chatting earlier. Some of us were talking. We're talking about getting a bit older. And it reminded me what I heard about growing older. I said, three things happen to you when you grow older. The first thing is you lose your memory. I can't remember the other two. I can see you identify with that, don't you? This morning, I want to reflect on Psalm 119. Now, don't get worried. I know there's 176 verses, so we're not going to be here till next Sunday. But I've called this Coming Home. I'm going to read you a short selection from Psalm 119, and we'll move on from there. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I will recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and I have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight I rise up to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all those who fear you and to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. Oh, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Now, these are about 40 of the 176 verses in the psalm. But from even of these, you can see this psalm resonates, doesn't it, with passion, with longing, with yearning and sighing to know Yahweh, the Lord. It reveals, doesn't it, an awareness of personal shortcomings when facing a holy God. Despite the protestations of fully embracing God's commandments, there is also a pressing awareness of the need for God himself to help bridge that gap. Read the whole psalm for yourself and try to do it in one sitting, and I'm sure you'll capture the heart of the psalmist, but don't do it now. Do that later. Now, this tension between the need to fully obey the law and the need for grace was never really resolved in the Old Testament, or it's the Hebrew Bible, as it's now often called. It's why we are told the saints of old long to see the coming of the Messiah. As Jesus said in Matthew 13:17, I truly say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The best that a person could do, and the only way to a relationship with the Lord God through the Mosaic law, and so we see the deepest longings of the heart focused on God's law. The law, however, only offers instructions, doesn't it? And then sanctions if you don't obey them. But it doesn't give people the power to conform, does it? Have you tried it? It won't last very long in your own efforts. The individual must find resources within themselves to enable that conformity with the law. And this is the fundamental weakness of the law, as I'm sure you all know. But God knows this, of course, doesn't he? And he designed it that way. And so there must be a solution to the dilemma, mustn't there? In Hebrews 10, 16 to 17, and quoting Jeremiah 31, 3 says this, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." So the law becomes our tutor, pointing the way to Jesus, doesn't it? As Paul puts it to the Christians in Galatia, in Galatians 3:23 onwards. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith could be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, praise God, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Amazing passage, isn't it? Therefore, we see in the New Testament that those deepest longings to bridge the gap between what we are and the perfection of God is met in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. Jesus the Messiah and Jesus the suffering servant, opening the way beyond the law to a deep and fulfilling relationship with God as Father. And we were singing about that earlier. The law, whose very purpose itself is to drive us to Christ, and will remain fully in place until all is perfectly fulfilled. This is what Jesus meant when he said even the smallest part of the law remains in place until that time. He said it in Matthew 5:18, "For truly I say to you, until the heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not one jot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Until all is accomplished. What the saints of old longed for, and you've got some of that longing in the psalm, didn't you? Look at the other psalms, it's replete with that longing to know God, longing for that intimacy. We are told has now been revealed in Jesus. So we should not take it for granted, should we? And we shouldn't neglect so great a salvation that our forefathers in the times of the prophets and the psalmists longed to see, that we have the privilege of walking into, that they never had. Hebrews 2 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard." What the saints of old earnestly longed for, we read in Matthew 13:17, and the parallel passage in Luke 10:24, and what they greatly desired to see has now come. It's now here. It's now ours. It's ours. Don't get too excited, will you? As Peter puts it in 1 Peter 1:10 to 12, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or the time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them they were serving not themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels longed to look. Angels don't understand this, but it's been given to us to understand it and to experience it. It's not just here, is it? It goes from here to here. It's not just what we hear, it's what we live. Angels longed to look and understand what we have been given as a gift. How fantastic is that? I mean, seriously, how fantastic is that? Even the angels long to understand, but it's been given to us as an unmerited gift, as an act of stupendous, outrageous, and cosmic grace. I don't know about you, but sometimes that moves my heart so deeply it hurts. Think about it. As Augustine of Hippo wrote about 1600 years ago, "Our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." Our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. Isn't that why, however good we may found our life here, there is still a deeper longing for more? Have you experienced that? Not for things. We hope against hope will satisfy our deepest needs, but there's still a restlessness in our hearts. In the centre of our being, from which springs our hope, our motivation and our will. The thing that drives us as much as our physical heart pumps life around our physical body. I don't know about you, but do you witness the desperate search for well-being among those who seem to have every material comfort. Have you noticed that? Anything. Anything to calm the ache inside. Anything. And it's just here, in the center of our being, that the life of God energizes us. Where we come home from our restless wandering, like the prodigal son to his loving father. As the saying goes, home is where the heart is. Can I ask you this morning if you have come home? If you have come home, has your restless heart found its rest in your loving Heavenly Father's embrace and welcome? And we sang that as well, didn't we, this morning? If not, can I urge you then to get it sorted before you leave this place this morning? There's many people here would help you and pray with you. But there is more. Whilst our heart can find its rest here and now, our bodies are subject to aging and to the pressures of a broken world with which we are called to be salt and light. Jesus understood this. And he told his disciples and us also in John 14:1-3, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you and take you? I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. To be with him. To be with him where death no longer holds sway. Where the brokenness of sin is no more. Where aging, where sickness, where grief and suffering are but distant memories. If we will remember them at all in the light of the wonder and glory of being with Jesus. I don't know. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. I have a friend. I have a friend. I do have a friend. However, who constantly battles with chronic anxiety and its evil twin, depression. Even with prayer and a touch of the Holy Spirit, he cannot experience that deep and abiding peace he so longs for. He's not alone, is he? He's not alone. For him and many others, the promise of Jesus is often all that enables him to carry on. This is what John wrote in Revelation 21:1-4. I'm going to finish with this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the Holy Spirit, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Don't those promises drive us? Don't they? Don't they also drive us to join in the only Aramaic prayer of the early church recorded in the New Testament? The Aramaic, you remember, was the language that Jesus spoke every day. And this is the only prayer recorded. And you find it in 1 Corinthians 16. Maranatha, one word. Come soon, Lord. Come soon. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.